This is an Animal Planet podcast. Check out Discovery Network's complete podcast lineup at discoverychannelradio.com.
Hey, Joel Silverman here with Duke. And today we're talking about the first few days of training your dog. Pretty exciting time for you and your dog, isn't it? Well, you've already bonded with your dog, and these first couple days people make a few mistakes, so I want to give you a little bit of advice. First of all, you want to go into a training session knowing what you want to accomplish. A lot of owners kind of go into a session not knowing what they want to accomplish, and any doubt or unsureness that they portray is very easily picked up by their dog. Also, a lot of people think that the longer time they spend training their dog or working with their dog, the smarter their dog will be. This really couldn't be further from the truth. My sessions are somewhere between 2 to 5 minutes and probably no longer than 10 to 15 minutes. The reality is you want to have a goal of what you want to accomplish each training session. And when you achieve that particular goal, you want to end the session and you want to end each session on a positive note. And following each training session, you want to spend some time playing with your dog with a ball, toy, anything they like. I'm on my way to Lily and Michael Singer's house, and they got a dog recently. It sounds like the dog's a little out of control, likes to bark a lot. Seems like the dog needs a little basic obedience training. I'm going to look at the dog's personality. Dogs do have different personalities. Some dogs are high-strung, some dogs are a little bit more laid back. And you need to work with each dog according to his or her individual personalities. Now, this is Michael and Lily, and this is Kobe. And how old is Kobe?
Kobe's about 8 or 9 months.
And you've had him for how long?
About six months,
yeah. have you had any training with him at all?
Or? None at all.
Nothing.
Kobe is totally untrained.
Really, he's untrained. What are some of the problems you had with
him? First of all, he whines all the time.
Like this?
Yes, just a whiner. Mm-hmm. He doesn't sit, he doesn't stay, he doesn't walk well in a leash. He jumps on people, furniture, and Kobe sort of...
Chews on furniture, chews on wood.
Chews on walls.
Chews on walls.
Yes, he does. Yeah. He can go through a wall. He can do plaster.
Really? Up at the top of the stairs, there's a piece of wall missing.
Well, what really will be a big help for him is just to learn some basic obedience, you know, just a beginning. We're going to work on teaching your dog to sit and to stay. When you're working with Kobe, you really want to have a goal of what you want to accomplish each training session. Obviously, if we're training the dog to sit, we're not going to train the dog to sit in one session or one day or maybe even 2 days. It might take a while, 4 or 5 days. So we're going to train pieces of the behavior. So have a goal of what you want to accomplish each session. And when you achieve that goal, end the session. You always want to end each session on a positive note. What we're going to do is we're going to bring Kobe up here. Come here, Kobe. Kobe, good boy.
You're doing an excellent job.
Good, that's a boy. Because we're going to say sit.
Thanks for coming.
Okay, that's a boy. And I'm going to say stay. You always want to say stay. There you go. See that foot up in the air like that? And the licking stuff. This is cool. This is neat stuff because
he's being lovable.
Exactly. We're going to say sit again. That's good. We're going to say stay. Good. Again, if the animal makes a mistake, we don't yank on the dog. We don't, you know, we just are real, real patient with him. Stay. Very good. Perfect. Now, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you a chance to kind of do the same thing I just did.
Okay.
We're not going to step back very far, but all I want you to do is take your right hand and just kind of push the rear end down. Okay. Here you go, big boy. Your
okay.
turn.
Come on, big boy.
All right. Lily, show me.
Come on, Kobe. Sit. Good boy. Stay.
That's it.
Okay.
All right.
Stay. No, Kobe.
Now hold the leash with your hand there before he gets a chance to, you know.
Up.
There you go.
Okay, Kobe.
That's right.
Good boy. Stay.
Just hold the leash just like this. That's perfect.
Stay.
So what you want to do is you're getting back a little bit too far. The mistake is, there you go, hold the leash here.
Okay.
Okay, this is only the first session, keep in mind, okay?
Exactly.
And what you're doing is you're kind of moving too fast there.
Yeah.
Okay, again,
good boy,
just say stay.
Stay.
Very, very good. Now, it's Michael's turn. So what I'm going to do is let you kind of trade places with Michael there. Okay?
Kobe, come on.
And we're going to have the dog sit. Now, Michael, what I want you to do is I want you to have the dog stay, but this time you're not going to step back
too.
You're going to hold your
sit.
Right hand up in the
good
air.
Good boy. Stay.
Great. Give him a little bit of slack, but enough to where if he lies down, that he's able to understand that he gets corrected.
Good boy.
That's excellent. So again, just say stay with your right.
Stay. Good boy.
Okay, this time go ahead and hold your right hand in the air again. Say stay.
Stay.
Go ahead and step back just a little bit. There you go. See him watching you? Great.
Stay. Good boy.
Perfect. Go ahead and reward him again.
Good boy. Good boy.
Perfect. Good boy. You know, Michael, many owners make the mistake of calling their dog to them before rewarding him when they're training the stay behavior when they get really far away. They call their dog to them. If they call their dog to them, what happens? The dog gets rewarded here, okay? He has no reason to stay.
Right.
So really what you want to do, that's why you want to have your dog sit, have him come around. You have your dog sit, have your dog stay, good, and walk to him and reward him just like that.
Okay.
All right, guys?
Okay.
Good. What we did was we just broke the tip of the iceberg here. for the training process is a long process, and you got to be really, really patient. One thing that's important to understand is this is an animal that really wants to be your best friend. Of all the animals there are, a dog wants to be your buddy. He wants to make you happy. And my suggestion to you is just spend a lot of time with the dog, and I think everything will really come into play. You guys are very loving people. You guys are very love your animal very much. That is 99.9% of the training.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back in about a week and see how things are going. You know, Michael and Lily's problem is not an uncommon one. The reality is many people's dogs are out of control. As a matter of fact, your dog might even be out of control. When we first came to their house, we saw a dog that was barking and really nervous. In order for us to address the barking and nervous problem, we first had to teach some basic fundamentals of training, which included sit, stay, come, and the word no. If you train these four behaviors, you'll gain some valuable control over your dog. Now this is Remy, and Remy is going to help us out with the come behavior. Now training your dog to come to you is actually an easy behavior with most dogs because most dogs naturally want to come to their owners. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to have the dog trained to sit and stay first. Okay, sit. Okay, and the dog stays. Come. That's a boy. Good job. And we reward the dog just like that. It's that simple. Okay, bring the dog back again. Remy, good. Sit. Stay. Again. We're fairly close. We're only about 3 feet away. We say, come, and the dog comes to us, kind of got the dog to us, just like that. We keep moving farther away. Now, the goal is to actually have the dog come to you without tugging on the leash, just using the come command. Now, I'm giving a little tactile reward here. If you have a problem with your dog not wanting to come to you, you might need something to make it a little bit more reinforcing. That's using a food reward, a treat, or possibly even a ball or a toy. Stay. Now, what's happening here, what I'm doing is I'm calling the dog to me, and the dog's wanting to get up. And the reason is because I'm not rewarding the dog for staying. So what I'm going to start doing right now is I just want to reward the dog just for staying here a little bit. Stay. Good boy. Very good. Now this next time I'm going to call him to me. And again, I'm going to kind of take the leash. Stay. Come. Very, very good. Just like that. Again, you want to take it real, real slow. Take real small steps. This is Crenshaw, and Crenshaw is going to help us with the word no. Now, the word no is one of the four behaviors I really recommend you first teach your dog. And really the reason there's a big breakdown in behavior or there's the reason that dogs don't listen to their owners is because they don't know the word no or don't respect the word no. So the way to teach your dog or reintroduce your dog to the word no that I really recommend is to take something, and in this situation I've got some food on this table and the dog wants to go to. And what we're going to do is the dog's going to go to the food. While the dog is eating, I'm going to say no, okay? And I'm also going to correct the dog at the same time. So we're going to go right here, no, and I'm going to correct the dog, bring the dog right back, okay? Do this again, good, no, and I correct her, bring her right back. And now what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to correct her before she gets to that food, okay? And I'm still going to say the word no, okay? Let's try this again, ready? No, gave her a little tug on the leash. I'm giving her a very, very small tug. Very, very good. Now, as we start working with this behavior more and more, what we're going to start doing is we're going to pull on the leash a lot less, all right? And we're going to still say no. And then what we're going to do is we're actually going to drop the leash as the dog walks to it. We're going to say no. Dog's going to look at us, and we're going to, of course, should come back to us. And we'll make sure that we give the dog a little bit of just a little bit of reassurance. That was real good. But that's how you teach the word no. And so now the dog really starts understanding that no means something. If you get to the point where you're working with the dog and you're dropping the leash, and the dog's responding pretty good, and all of a sudden you drop the leash and you say no and the dog eats the food again, well, then you simply have to put the leash back on the dog and use the word no at the same time. Team is really the key word when it comes to agility training courses for your dog. Agility training teachers can assist you in training your dog to run an obstacle course. Now, this course consists of jumps, tunnels, and obstacles that test your dog's agility. Jean McKenzie is a teacher and a judge for agility training competitions around the country. Now, she believes strong communication between owner and dog is really the key to success for an agility course winner.
When I watch a team perform, I'm looking for just that, teamwork. I like to see a handler that can react to the dog as well as the dog that's reacting to a handler. I'm looking for a performance through all the obstacles that is smooth and flowing and enjoyed by both the dog and the handler.
There are four different groups of obstacles in a typical agility training course. Contact obstacles take the form of A-frames, dog walks, and teeter-totters. There are jumps of all kinds, weave poles, and finally, tunnels.
This is the open tunnel. For the majority of dogs, this is the preferred obstacle on the agility course, perhaps because it's quite easy to just run through and blast. This is the closed tunnel. You'll notice that the chute at the end lies flat on the ground, so the dog cannot see the other side. It's, for some dogs, this is a scary thing, to go into an opening that's dark, and then they have to push their way all the way through to get to their owner at the other end.
Jumps obviously require physical agility and ability, but Gene says there's more. The dog must make some quick decisions.
This is the tire obstacle. It's pretty obvious to you and I that the purpose of this obstacle is for the dog to jump through the tire. When the dog looks at this obstacle, however, there are a number of different openings for it to choose from. It might choose the opening through the tire, but it might choose the opening between the tire and the frame, or it might choose to go under the tire, or as my greyhound once did when he was pretty frustrated with me, he jumped over the whole thing.
Contact obstacles test a dog's precision. Each contact obstacle is marked with a yellow area toward the bottom on each end, as on this A-frame. The dog is required to touch or contact each yellow zone. This rule is aimed at preventing injuries from dogs that might overjump, ensuring safety during high-paced competition.
This is the dog walk. Small dogs especially love to race across this obstacle. It's like a superhighway for them. A little bit harder for your larger dogs. They have to remember to keep their feet together as they walk down the plank. This is the seesaw. This is also a contact obstacle. It's the one obstacle on the agility course that actually moves underneath the dog's feet. When the dogs perform the seesaw, they must come up the plank to its pivot point, which they find themselves, and then they tip the plank until it hits the ground before they're allowed to get off and go on to the next obstacle.
Which happens to be the weave poles, the biggest crowd pleaser on the agility course.
The weave poles, in contrast to the open tunnel, are the most difficult of all the agility obstacles for the dog to learn and perform. It may take up until a year to train a dog to be very reliable and fast through the weave poles.
Patience is the key to this dog sport. As with any training regimen, perfection will not be mastered overnight. Remember, this is a team sport. Both you and your dog will benefit from working together. Because of this, in the end, you both win. Another subject that you and your dog should be spending a little bit more time with is the subject of dental hygiene.
And Dr. Thatcher, what can we tell the viewers about dental care for dogs?
Well, Joel, dental care is very important. Dental disease is one of the most common diseases we see in dogs. The same type of diseases that people get, gum disease, tooth disease, dogs get the same ones also.
A lot of dog owners that I know complain about their dog's breath. What can these people do to alleviate the problem of bad breath with their dogs?
Well, one of the simplest things that can be done is the diet. The more abrasive the dog's diet, the slower the tartar buildup is going to be. A dry dog food versus a canned dog food will help this. Now, it's not going to totally eliminate the problem, but it can slow down plaque and tartar buildup.
That's a real good point. As a matter of fact, you know, we have about 15 dogs that we use for movies and TV shows and commercials. And in all the years I've been doing this, and the 15 dogs that I have right now, I've never had a problem with tartar on the teeth, and I've always fed dry food. What about chew toys?
Well, there are a lot of chew toys on the market that are made specifically to help dental problems. And these do work. They do slow down that buildup. But nothing really works as well as the pet owner's brushing the teeth. The bristles getting under that gum line in between the teeth is the best technique. Ultimately, there are doggy toothbrushes and toothpastes. Different size toothbrushes for the different sizes of dogs. And then there is specific toothpaste for the dogs.
Now, how about there are people that I've been around before that have maybe owners that have used human toothpaste. What about using human toothpaste?
Yeah, we don't really recommend that. Dogs are not real big on the foaming action, the mint flavor in human toothpaste. Plus, the dog toothpaste can be swallowed. We don't have to worry about where human toothpaste not really meant to be swallowed.
Dr. Thatcher, thanks a lot for helping us out today.
You're welcome, Joel.
So, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
Everything's
Joel,
been
how
fine.
Are you?
It's been a good week. He's done very well.
Yeah? Sit and stay were the two things we were kind of working on.
I spent a lot of time.
Great.
With him.
All right, beautiful.
5-10 minutes a day.
Excellent. Well, you know, we always say that, you know, the sessions don't have to be long. Just, you know, have a goal of what you want to accomplish. Make it real, real short.
Kobe, sit. Sit. Good boy. Stay. Kobe, good boy. Good stay.
I'll tell you, that is real, real nice. Where we eventually start doing gets to the point where you can step back a little bit, say the word sit, get a little bit of distance between you and the dog. Congratulations on the new training.
Thank you so much, Joel.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. See you guys.
Yeah,
take
thanks.
Care.
Bye.
Here's a great behavior you can teach every dog. It's teaching your dog to sit up, okay? And what you want to do is just give the dog the cue. You say, sit up. That's very good, Heidi. And we reward the dog for sitting up. That was really cool.
Bet you want to know how you train that. Well, I'm going to show you. What you want to do is hold a little piece of food over the dog's head, and the dog's going to reach up for it just for half a second. Good girl. And the dog, we bring the dog down. Okay? We say sit up. Good girl. We say stay. Good girl. And bring the dog down. Make sure that you ask the dog to come down. Okay? The dog doesn't come down on its own. Now what's going to end up happening is we're going to use no food. That cue is the same cue. Heidi, Heidi, sit up. Stay. No food. Good, and we reward her for sitting up. Now, the mistake that a lot of owners make is actually the dog sitting up. Heidi, Heidi, sit, Heidi, stay. Okay, and they say, good girl, and they reward the dog for coming down. You don't want to do that, okay? One more time, big thing you want to do is have the dog sit up, stay, and reward the dog while she's in sitting up position. Well, I hope we've demystified the basics of obedience training. If you master the basics of sit, stay, come, and the word no, you'll build a wonderful relationship with your dog built on respect and trust. Today we're going to be looking at two of the most common situations where chasing is involved. The first situation is a dog running out the door, and the other situation is a dog actually on a leash trying to pull you to get to a bicycle, a car, a person, or even a skateboard. A lot of time it depends upon the breed. For example, some dogs are bred to retrieve, some dogs are bred to herd, and some dogs are bred to dig up and chase little critters. There are also certain sights, sounds, and smells that can initiate your dog chasing something, and a lot of these sights, sounds, and smells are things that we can't comprehend. It's natural for many dogs to chase, and in a lot of cases it can be dangerous and even deadly. What you really want to do is train your dog at an early age or an early part of training so that you actually condition your animal not to chase things. I'm on my way to Eva and Karen's. Now here's the scenario. Eva has cerebral palsy, and Karen is her caretaker. Each of these girls has a dog, and every time they take the dogs for walks together, the dogs chase and they try to get to different things. I want to find out what they're trying to chase. I mean, is it a car? Is it a bicycle? Is it a skateboard? Or possibly even a person? We're with Karen, and this is Eva, and this is Buster, this little one over here, and this is Lucy. And explain, first of all, how old are these guys?
Yep, Lucy is about 8 months old. Mm-hmm. We adopted her from the ASPCA. Mm-hmm. She's a new addition to the family here. Right. We've only had her a few weeks, and Buster has been with us about 6-7 years. We have a real problem when we're outside going down the street with them on the leash. Anybody go by, a biker, skateboarder, anything, they just want to bolt after it. It's pretty hard to control them.
Okay, so really what the problem is it's a desensitization problem, okay? And what desensitization is getting the animals used to being in certain situations, okay? So what we really want to do is have the dogs near your house, you mm-hmm. know, have them sit and stay, and, you know, get them used to these types of distractions.
So what we got is we got two kids here, one mm-hmm. on a bicycle, one on rollerblades.
Okay, that's pretty good. This is fun, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You got your work cut out for you here.
Yeah.
So here's what we do, Karen. We're gonna work in increments. We're gonna go. We're about maybe 30 feet away from the sidewalk. We're gonna go 25 feet away.
Okay.
20 feet away. 15 feet. 10 feet. 5 feet. We've got Eli helping us out on a bicycle over here. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna have him kind of go by. Obviously, this is what kind of elicits this response. All right. This hyperness. Okay, as we see him going by there, okay, no problem with the dog. Dog is actually pretty cool. What I'd like you to do is reward the dog right now. What that's telling us right now is that the dog's actually pretty cool with this distance. But I'm going to move up a little bit closer. We're going to move about another 5 feet this time.
All right.
Okay. Okay. So
good
Eli,
girl.
Go ahead and come through one more time here. That's great. She's doing really, really well. Super. Good job. All right. Something that's kind of interesting here is the fact that Lucy's doing well. And if we bring Buster out, Buster probably will do well too. But when animals are together, sometimes they can kind of feed off each other and develop this, you know, this energy that we saw. And that's something to remember. So even though the animals are trained, once you put them together, you might have to rework them just a little bit as well. So let's go ahead and move a little bit closer now to the sidewalk, all right?
Okay.
All right. Again, you want to work in increments.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. Come on, Luce.
See how things go?
Yeah,
okay,
sit in.
Great.
Good girl.
Again.
Good girl.
He's gonna go by. All right. We don't see a response, which is really good. Okay, and we're about 15 feet away. So eventually what you're going to do is you're going to go 15 feet, you're going to go 10 feet, 5 feet, so on and so forth, until eventually you're right next to the sidewalk, and whatever elicits this response happens, and the animal is real consistent. And if you have a problem with the dog all of a sudden eliciting that response that you didn't like, that, you know, jumping or barking, just take the dog back to where the dog was consistent,
just
where the dog
up.
Was very
right.
consistent. And the most important thing is just to extinguish this behavior, because it's a real, real bad behavior. Is it okay if we come back in about a week and see how things are going with
Absolutely.
Lucy? Well, so far we've seen dogs who chase bicycles and cars, but there is another type of chaser. This is the impatient one. This is a dog that runs out your front door when your front door is open. Well, to prevent this from happening, I use a long line to train with, And there's a dog I work with. Her name is Pebbles. She's going to help us demonstrate. I want to give you a few tips on correcting that problem. But before you do that, you got to get a couple things. First of all, you need a long leash. The second thing you need is a 20 to 30 foot long line, very, very long line. You can probably get that at your local pet shop. Now, this is Pebbles. Pebbles is going to help us out today. And the big problem, obviously, is the dog running out the door. Now, this is a long line that I was talking about. This line is about probably, oh, I'd say 20 to 30 feet. Pebbles wants to go out the door, so I'm going to let her go out the door. And what I'm going to do is when she gets to a certain spot, we're going to say Pebbles as soon as I want her to come to me. So I'm just going to kind of let her go. Pebbles, Pebbles. Good girl. Very, very good. She came to the end of the line. I'm going to kind of reel her in. Good girl. I'm going to reward her for coming back to me. That was really, really good. Okay? And if a dog comes to the end of the line, you want to have a little bit of give. You just don't want to let the dog come to the end of the line and just stop it just as a jolt. Okay? Again, she's going to go out. Okay? Pebbles. Pebbles. Good girl. Very, very good. Come here. Comes back to me. That was great. Super. Okay? So what we're looking for now is a dog to start responding. And you're going to start doing this real consistently here. But we want the dog to respond without us pulling on the leash. So she's going to go out. Pebbles. Pebbles. That was pretty good. I didn't pull very much on the leash there. This is going to take a little bit of time. This is probably about a week here. That's a good girl. Good girl. And against Pebbles. That's very good. Oh, that's a good girl. All right. So you can see kind of how that progress is. What's going to happen is the animal's going to know that the animal shouldn't cross this border here. Okay. Pebbles. Good girl. Very, very good. Boundary training is very important because what this means is we're training the dog where he can and cannot go. While you may not want your dog chasing people down the street, many police departments around the country count on the fact that bloodhounds can and will chase down the scent of anyone they're looking for.
The bloodhound has a natural training capability as far as trailing is concerned. They love to trail all kinds of things. All we have to do is get them to trail a human being. So we don't allow them to go after anything but human beings. The olfactory system in our nose, about the size of the end of your finger. But in the bloodhound, it's about 150 square centimeters. It's a whole large area. So they have long floppy ears. They have a lot of extra fur, dewlap, that whips the scent up. And then they have this moisture on their mouth, which enhances the scent before it goes into the olfactory system. The bloodhounds actually trail. And what they're doing is they're trailing where the scent has flown, where it has blown. And then they eventually go right into the person. So if the wind moves a scent, they're trailing. They're not tracking. They're trailing.
Dennis Slavin of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department challenged his bloodhound Tinkerbell to pursue a well-hidden police officer.
Is that her? Is that a girl?
Good girl!
Good team!
Good girl! Good girl! Look here!
Her very first case was a year ago. She was about 8 months old. She took scent from a rock that was used as a murder weapon and trailed about a mile and a half through city streets and ended up on a doorstep. And it just so happens that in that house lived the people who the next day confessed to the murder.
So all of this drool and sloppiness and so on, some people don't care for that. Bloodhounds, they'll dig up the back garden and they'll get all the paper towels off the rack and string them around and shred them and the local newspaper and things of this nature. And they're not for everyone, but I'll tell you one thing. When you get established with this breed, they crawl right into your heart.
Okay, so we're here with Eva and Karen and Lucy and Buster. How's everything going?
Well, it's going a lot better. We followed what you said, and, we're making progress little by little.
Right. Now, there's a dog across the street here.
Okay.
Okay, and she's not totally freaking out. I mean, she was getting excited a little bit.
Yeah, what I've been doing is having her sit down.
Okay,
so.
Great.
Lucy, why don't you sit down?
This is great.
Good girl.
Let's continue walking.
Okay.
And the dog's over there.
Yep. Good
That's
girl,
great.
Guys.
You know, we're looking for really an attitude where she kind of forgets about the dog, which is great. She's kind of forgetting about it a little bit here.
It was important to kind of, separate them, and we did. And Buster's a little less far along, I think, in terms of certain distractions, certain cats, certain dogs. He really seems to go for him still.
Right.
But he's definitely changed. He's definitely better.
But she's actually made more of an improvement than...
Yeah, she'll sit. Once I have her sitting down, she's really calming.
I kind of knew that Buster was going to take a little bit longer than Lucy. Lucy's a little more stable. But that's something to take into consideration when you're working with your dog. We mention this all the time. All dogs that do have different personalities should be trained differently. Some dogs take a little bit longer to learn. It's not because they're stupid. It's just sometimes they take a little bit longer to learn it. Obviously, you got to spend a little more time with Buster.
Yeah.
But he seems like, he didn't respond to that dog, which was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Of course, he's on the other side of the wheelchair, too,
His height helps.
Yes. But anyway, hey, thank you very much.
Great.
And good luck with everything.
Yeah, thanks.
And good luck to you, too. We've been supplying a lot of information about dogs that chase, but now let's talk about why they do it. The bottom line is a chasing response comes from the dog's instinctive predatory behavior. Now, this behavior was present in dogs in the wild years ago when dogs actually had to hunt down moving prey to eat and survive. Of course, this behavior is not needed today, since the dog's food is delivered to them in bags and cans. Today, our dogs see moving prey as skateboarders, bicyclists, cars, basically anything that moves. The essential ingredient for predatory behavior is movement. This is what triggers it. Now, certain breeds of dogs can be extremely prone to chase. These are the hunting dogs, the herding dogs, the terriers. These dogs will chase almost any moving thing. The reason is they've been bred over the years to have an intense drive to hunt down prey, and therefore have a greater desire to chase. And keep in mind, this chasing behavior can be a very difficult behavior to deal with. It's very important that you maintain good control over these dogs. When walking your dogs, you should always keep them on a leash, especially in busy areas where the dog's instinct could send them running into traffic. At home, it's a good idea to remove the dog from the source of the temptation by the use of solid fences, and it might be a good idea to keep the dog in back of the house instead of the front. Remember, when dealing with such strong ancestral instincts, prevention is the best cure.
You've been listening to an Animal Planet feature presentation.